I'll be singing 902, 902, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'll be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
I'll be reading Daniel chapter 2, verse 20-23. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes time and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors."
It's great. And I need to thank you for thank you for Jesus.
Help us to be kind.
Friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just to get some clarity on the family retreat, September 3rd through the 6th. You know, we're pitching it as something where you can stay at the camp, the campgrounds. It's not truly camping because you're in an air-conditioned environment, so that's good. There are also hotels in the surrounding areas. So if you want to come and be a part of the retreat, you can stay at a hotel, and that is absolutely okay. And spend the night there, and during the days, if we're not at the Ark, on Saturday afternoon, evening, and all day Sunday, just spend time at the camp hanging out with everybody. You'll still get the same effect. So don't let the camp keep you from going. I just want you to know about that. That's probably the last time you're going to hear me say anything about it. But I also want to say this too before you get up there, Mike. Man, it's a great time to be a part of the Lord. It's always a good time to be a part of the Lord's church. Amen? But especially here, I think, at Florence Boulevard here recently, if you're watching online, you may not know all of it or experience all of it, but the spirit of worship today has been great, and I hope we carry that over into tonight. And so I know announcements are about to be made, but we're going to get into the mindset and the heart of worship in just a few minutes. So I hope you also put yourself there, and let's have another great time of praise to the Father.
We do have a couple of announcements before we begin. We'd like to also thank our visitors for being here with us tonight. Please remember to stay around for a little while after and let us get to know you a little better. And if you are senior youth, 7th through 12th, and you're visiting, we invite you to stay with us tonight for our back-to-school bash tonight following the services in the Lighthouse. And if you don't know where the Lighthouse is, you can follow the Bible Boulevard and go up the stairs, and you'll see the Lighthouse. So we'll invite you to stay for that. We'll invite all of our youth to stay for that after services this evening. The Widows and Widowers, that was this morning, never mind. Meals on Wheels, August the 16th through 20th is our week to deliver Meals on Wheels. I believe that list is full. But you might check it if you can volunteer for that. Sign the list on the table in the foyer. And if you're going on the family retreat to see the Ark, you'll be having a meeting next Sunday, August the 22nd, following Sunday school in the 49ers classroom for more information on that. And now the most important announcement, well, not the most important, but a very important announcement for tonight. There's going to be the startup again of an opportunity for our young ladies to participate in a devotional time. So we're inviting all the ladies of the congregation on every, and the young ladies, on every last Sunday afternoon of the month. This month, it'll be every Sunday evening, on the last Sunday evening of the month, in the 49ers classroom in the back, so you can have a little more distance to spread out. And if you would like to participate in this, young ladies, you can see Miss Ginger or Miss Janet if you have any questions, and to sign up for that. But this will be for the young ladies, and we're asking the ladies of the congregation, if you don't have a daughter, to come and support them. And they'll be doing that on every last Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock every month in the 49ers classroom in the back. Now let's all prepare our minds for worship. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship you, for the opportunity to be a part of a congregation that loves you. And although we're flawed, we're trying our best, Father, to follow you and your word. And we pray, Father, that you would bless us in this. Help us, Father. We are earthen vessels, and we are weak, and we are sinful. And we ask, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins at this time, that you would help prepare our minds for worship tonight, Father. We also pray for our brothers and sisters in Haiti, Father, that are dealing with so many things in their country. We pray for the monies that will be spent this next week to send money to Haiti to feed Christians, and for those Christians to be able to reach out to others in their community and spread the gospel. We know, Father, that they've had a lot of things happen to them, Father, but they're upbeat and they're not willing to give up. And, Father, I just pray that we would have that kind of faith. Be with us tonight as we worship, Father. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In your Son Jesus' name we pray.
If you'd like, let's stand as we begin our worship this evening.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now on above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All hail the power. Forth the royal diadem.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing number 155. 155.
The first time through this, we
sing all together, and then the second time through, it's when we split off into our parts. We place you on the highest place. For you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come. Shall we pray? Holy Father, how great is your name in all the earth. We adore thee and praise thee. Thank you for your Son. He made it possible for us to have salvation. We're thankful for our visitors today. Thankful for them for worshiping with us. We want to thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the church which Jesus purchased with his blood and through which we can be saved. Please forgive us of our sin so that our prayer will not be hindered. Please continue thy blessings upon our elders as they make decisions from time to time.
realizing they spend much time in conference. We are thankful for their wives that stand by them. We are also thankful for the deacons and the work that they do, realizing that they have a great responsibility, especially in this time of maybe involve the remodeling. Please be with them, and may whoever they get to do the work will do the work, and that maybe this soon that will be over. Please continue thy blessings upon our teachers, realizing they spend much time preparing for we as students. Please continue thy blessings upon Austin and John as they work with us here. Be with Austin this evening as he brings us the lesson. May he remember those things that he has prepared for our hearing. And if there be someone here that have not become a Christian or who have left their first love, may this be the evening that they will do so. We are thankful for the refreshing rain that we just had. Maybe some parts of the area may not have received rain, but we are those of us that have received rain, thank you. Please continue thy blessings upon us through in this worship service. May whatever we do, it be pleasing thy sight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Next song, number 158. We'll sing all three verses.
Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all. Jesus, you always hear me when I call. Oh, Jesus, you pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all.
If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'll be reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Daniel, chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." You can be seated, please.
Liza was 3 years old, and she had a rare disorder that caused doctors to tell her her life is in danger. At 3 years old, she had met with every ologist that you could put her with. Same response with each one. One particular meeting towards the end, the doctor sat them down and said, "Her life is severely in danger. There's really only one option. If you can find somebody with the same blood type who has been through this exact disorder, it would save her life. Would you know?" 3-year-old Liza had a 5-year-old brother, had the same rare disease, except he had come through it. Would you know? His blood would work. So the doctors sat in that room with little Liza and the parents, and they explained, "How do you want to handle it?" To which the parents responded, "Well, we can't force him to do this. We've just got to tell him, see what he says." So they go out and they get the brother, their son, they bring him back in. And the doctor, to the best of his ability, he explains the situation and the seriousness of it to the 5-year-old brother. Gets to the end of the explanation, and he's looking at the little boy, and he said, "Would you give your blood to Liza?" And he waited, and a moment passed, and he said, "If it will save Liza, then I'll give it to her." The doctor said, "Great, we'll go out to the waiting room and we'll send instruction." So they leave. And as they sit, the 5-year-old figuring out and thinking through what he had just determined to do, turns and speaks with his parents and he says, "Does it hurt?" What does the parent say? I said, "No, baby, it's a pinch, a poke of a needle, and then it'll be okay." He says, "So is that all that death feels like?" And they said, "No, son, you're just giving some blood. You're not giving all of it. So, Mom, I'm not going to die." They said, "No." You know, it only took him a moment in his little head as he determined to give his life for his little sister. You want to talk about personal conviction?
A motivation from love. Wow. And it just took a moment. I want you tonight to be personally convicted, to be a changed person out of love for the one who gave it all. You know, life, and in life, we face a lot of different circumstances. And I hope these four tips tonight, along with your personal conviction, help you navigate in as godly a way as possible to the praise and glory of the Father. Daniel chapter 2. If you weren't able to be with us this morning, what you need to know is I preached a sermon in the same place, but for everybody who is here this morning, you're back again tonight. I didn't get to preach my sermon this morning. I just got to the intro. We called it quits. So I'm going to preach, as somebody I think once said, the rest of the story tonight. Four tips to help you be godly and to navigate this godless world with as much personal conviction as possible. Because who knows what you're going to face. Tip number one. I think in every situation, truth will be made known, but what is false will also make itself known. In the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as was their given name. Look at the false prophets, the false wise men in verse 4 and verse 7. These men known as Chaldeans said, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and then we will show the interpretation. Verse 7, they said the same thing again. Verses 10 through 11, the Chaldeans said to the king, no one can do what you're asking of us. Verse 11, it's too difficult, and no one can show it to the king except, look at verse 11, the gods. God's word is true, and truth always rises up. A tip that I wish I would have reworded that one. I don't really like that. Here's what I want to reword it to. Do not be afraid to let God and his word be challenged. Because if God is who he says he is, and if his word is what we believe it is, then it can carry its own weight with or without you. So have no fear of whatever we face out there, or whatever we might even face within here, as we might challenge God and his word. Truth will always rise up and stand out. Practically speaking, as you're working with people, don't be afraid to say, you know what? I love your challenge. I love your question and I appreciate it. But I need to take a step back and reevaluate, prayerfully consider it, and I'll come back with an answer later. Never be afraid of a challenge given to God in his word. Life tip number two. Well, just click to the next one, Justin, if you don't mind. That'd be great. Life tip number two. Prudence and discretion win hearts and minds. Now, back to the text of Daniel chapter 2, because this word is in a couple of verses, in verse 14 specifically. So Daniel is going to be killed. And I don't know if you've been sought after to be killed lately, but I would anticipate it's not a good thing. I make that in light and in jest, but I have a friend who 2 years ago when I met him said he fled another country. He was found out that he's a Christian. And being a Christian is okay in this foreign country he was in, But if you ever start to evangelize your Christianity, well, then it becomes a national problem. And the warrant was out for his arrest. You see, they already took, froze all of his assets, and stole his self-started business from him. They told him on Friday, we will give you the weekend to consider it, to sign this paper, the paper which said, you are a Christian for the sole purpose of making money, not because it's something you believe. And he pushed it back and said, I refuse. They said, we'll give you the weekend, but on Monday, we're coming for you. So they hosted the church, the gathering of believers in their home. On Sunday, he packed his bags and on Sunday night fled the country and just days and weeks later landed in America. So let's not act like this isn't happening in our world. I can't imagine that conversation. Notice Daniel when he's being chased and probably then going to be killed. How did he respond? Verse 14. He replied with prudence and discretion to the captain of the king's guard. Now, what do those two words mean? Prudence and discretion win hearts and minds. Well, prudence is this. Listen to me. Prudence, if you have a different translation, it may say some things. Here's what it means. The words, prudence, the words of a counselor. You're dealing with stress. You're dealing with mental instability. So you go to see a counselor. What are you expecting when you walk into the counselor? Oh, man, hey, what's going on? I'm so busy. Hurry up. Get here. Come on. I got to go. This is fast. What? You're really dealing with that? Are you kidding me? You need to hear who I spoke with last hour. You think that's a problem? Ha! Ah! That counselor ought to be fired. And you would run away. Prudence. It means words that from which might even be a counselor. Why? What's that mean? Words that are calm, patient, well thought out, and kind. Now you walk into that office, in the world that might seem like chaos, in that moment you have peace. Why? Because the words from a counselor calm the spirit. Now you're facing a godless world that might be challenging and attacking you and your beliefs. What type of words ought you to be responding with? That which comes from a counselor, that which calms the spirit. God's people ought to be known for words of prudence and discretion. Discretion means this, tact. I could give you several illustrations of tact or not having tact. But I'm going to pass on from those in this moment. In a growing godless world, the enemy is waiting for us to get triggered and to lose it. And so tempers and anger and publicized losing of your cool will not win hearts and minds to the Lord. Have you read the Proverb 15 verse 1 recently? If you haven't read it, you might want to underline it in your Bibles. Proverbs 15, verse 1, what does it say? It says this, a soft word turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. How do you navigate crises, trials, attacks and challenges? With prudence and discretion, with soft words of the Spirit of our God. Have you listened to the fruit of the Spirit recently? For the fruit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But those probably don't have anything to do with our words, right? That's just our actions. Yeah. We get a free-for-all with our words. Oh, wait, we don't. For the scriptures say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And one day when we meet Jesus, we'll have to give an account of everything we've done in word and deed. How do you navigate this life? With words. that of a counselor, and discretion, that's tactfulness, one that calms the spirit. Tip number three, in times of crisis, go to your inner circle for prayer. Now, this morning we talked about already James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, and James 5, verse 16, but we didn't consider this. What did Jesus do when he felt like he was getting overwhelmed? Where did he go? He retreated with his inner circle to do what? Pray to the Father. You might be going through something right now where God is leading you to an inner circle of spiritually powerful people, not because of their own power, as Daniel said, but the power of the God who is in all of that circle. Go to your inner circle in prayer for wisdom from God who will provide. That should be your first step to help you navigate. So, tip number one, don't fear challenges of the word. Tip two, season your words with prudence and discretion because they truly win hearts and they win minds. Tip three, go to your inner circle for prayer. And then we come to tip four. Always remember this, especially in the story of Daniel, that God is the hero. And in your own life, guess who's the hero? God. It's not me and it's not you. God is the hero. Somebody told me this about preaching one time, and I loved it. He said, Austin, when you get up to preach, you need to preach loud enough so people can hear you, but quiet enough so that they know it's actually God speaking. Don't get in the way of the message, but be the mouthpiece for the message. I love that advice. I thought that was great. God is the hero in the story of Daniel, and we don't need to lose that perspective. I think that's why Daniel could rise up and rise to the occasion, because he knew who the hero was. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, verse 6, he's the wonderful counselor, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. He's the one who will empower me with my purpose and give me the proper perspective that I'm a vessel to be used so that he can heroically save the day. You see, God is the one who's working all things out for our ultimate good. And it may not, as I said this morning, necessarily be our temporary or our immediate good, as we would prefer him to do at times, but it is for our long-term good. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I've shared this with some friends here recently, and I want to make sure I reiterate this verse one more time. Because it's one well-known, but maybe you're somebody who doesn't know what it means yet. Here's what it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Notice the phrase, all things. Well, how can some things that are bad, which is included in the all things, how can some things that are bad that you've done in your life, that you've been a part of in your life, that you might even be currently struggling with in your life, how in the world can that turn out to be any semblance of something good if all things work together for good? Well, here's how it works. And here is how it happens. Maybe God is using your brokenness as he mends you and heals you, having forgiven you and restored you. Maybe he's using your brokenness and your healing to reach out and find somebody else who's broken and in need of healing. And so what was bad has now been turned into something that can be used for good. And you need to know that and believe that, because I believe there are some people who might even be suffering in our assembly this very night. And you may feel like you are in a dark corner without any hope. And I want to tell you tonight from Scripture that God can use your darkness and your brokenness and make all things new. Not only make it new, but can actually turn out to be good, because he takes what's been broken in you, heals it. So you can find someone broken, lead them to God who can heal it. And look how you've multiplied the healing powers of our God. I think that's how it can turn out to be good. And Daniel is somebody who knew the hero in the story was the Father working all things out, because Daniel said, I know that I am just a vessel. Now, I want to talk about a couple of questions and we'll bring it to a close. How do you know that you're carrying out God's will in your life? You see, Daniel was the guy, he embraced his purpose and he kept his perspective. And I think that's how it worked. He could embrace his purpose as he kept his perspective that God's the hero, I'm a vessel, and he's got my back. Here are a couple questions I think you need to ask yourself in any and every situation. Question number one, can I carry out the will of God in this thing? You're looking at a job. You're looking at a college. You're looking at a relationship. You're looking at marriage. You're looking at parenting. You're looking at buying something. I don't know what in the world you're looking at, what situation you're encountering, but you need to ask yourself this question. Can I carry out God's will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth while involving myself in this, while doing this, while purchasing this, while getting involved here, there, or anywhere? And if yes, proceed. If no, close the door, move on. Second question. Can I live by faith here? Does this help me walk by faith there? Does this purchase enhance my ability to live by faith or hurt my ability to live by faith? Does this relationship, how about this habit, how about this work environment? It might provide for me financially. Does it provide for you emotionally or spiritually? I don't know. You need to ask yourself these questions to figure out if you're carrying out God's will in your life or not. These are four tips that I see with Daniel. Four tips that I hope might be helpful for you in life. And I want to conclude with 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. Let me speak to your heart for just a minute. Do you remember little Liza and her older brother? Moments. Just moments to give a life. 1 John 5, 10 to 12 says this. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. What is the testimony, you might ask? Verse 11. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life, it's in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. What do you have tonight? If you have the Son, which means you have believed in Jesus as Lord, and you've allowed God to cleanse you and make you whole, you have Jesus. Can I say this too? Too many Christians walk around brokenhearted as if they don't die with a prayer of forgiveness on their lips, they're going to hell. That is sad. God is big and his blood is powerful and his grace reaches even me. We need to walk around with the joy of the Lord, having been redeemed from our sins by the power of Jesus. And let it be made known to all. Christian, walk in the joy of the Lord. But if you're somebody who's outside of Christ, meaning you haven't submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, you've not allowed God to cleanse you, wash you, make you whole. Where forgiveness is where God is. And where God is, there's life. And that starts in a burial where you choose to give your life away. Maybe you're like the brother. It just takes moments to decide. And if you need to make that decision tonight, we want to help you. Either walk by faith or walk in the faith for the first time. Let's stand up, and if you need to respond, you can come forward now.
Oh, I'm bending knee, I come with a humble heart.
ask that you remain standing. We are thankful once again for your presence this evening. If you were unable to be here this morning and partake of the Lord's Supper, it is prepared in the classroom right to the back of the auditorium. You can go ahead and be dismissed at that time. We also want to encourage everyone to be back Wednesday night for a midweek Bible study at 6:30. We'll close with a verse of a song and then be dismissed in prayer.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for this time we spend together with brothers and sisters to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, let we take what Austin said and apply it to our lives and know that you are our hero and our strength. I don't know what each one of us is going through at this moment, but I pray for each and every one of us here that if there are troubles that we go through, that you will be with us, and that we lean on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.